So today is 2 weeks after Easter, and we're going to continue looking at Jesus' resurrection and how we can have assurance that Jesus is who he said he is, and that we know that he is alive today. So we're looking at Luke 24, 36 to 53. I'm going to ask Andy to come up and read the passage is a bit, we've adapted it to have it from a first person point of view. Because when I was reading and studying for this preach this morning, I was so aware that this is somebody's experience. These are real people that had this real experience of seeing Jesus raised from the dead. And I just wanted to give it a slightly different perspective. So we've adapted it into a bit of a story from the first person of one of the disciples. So Andy's going to come up and read that for us.
You won't believe what's happened and what we've seen. It was 3 days after Jesus was crucified, and we started to hear these unbelievable stories that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he'd appeared to some of his followers. It was like fake news 2,000 years before its time. As we were talking about these things, saying there's just no way that could have happened, Jesus himself stood among us. And then he said, "Peace to you." But we obviously were startled. We were frightened. We thought we saw a spirit. But he said to us, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" "Why are we troubled?" I thought. "The man we saw die on a cross, we saw it. He died on the cross. He's standing just here in front of us saying, 'Peace to you.' Could it really be true?" I didn't think so. I was full of doubt. But then he showed us his hands and his feet, which had the marks of the nails. "See my hands and my feet? That it is I myself," he said. "Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." The fear was now replaced with joy, but I still wasn't sure if I could really believe what my eyes were telling me, what my hands were telling me. And then guess what he asked us? "It won't be what you're expecting." What do you think he asked? He said, "Have you got anything to eat?" We gave him a piece of fish and he took it and ate it right in front of everybody. This proved he wasn't a ghost. Ghosts can't eat stuff. He was truly alive again. It was amazing. And then he said to us, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he showed us in the scriptures where it all was. And suddenly it all made sense. Incredible as it was, unbelievable as it was there and it made sense. He said, "It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things," he said, "and I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus appeared to us, and he appeared to many more people. Unbelievable. And then yesterday, we're still reeling and adjusting from this. It still doesn't quite kind of settle fully with us. Something even more amazing happened, as if that was possible. He led us out of Jerusalem to Bethany, and then lifting up his hands, he blessed us. He's done that before. He's blessed us before. But then this time, as we watched, he just parted from us and was carried up into heaven. Just like that. We worshipped him like we never have before. Oh boy, did we worship. We returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we've been here in the temple blessing God and praising him ever since.
Thank you, Andy. So In this passage, we see that the disciples and those with them had doubts that it really was Jesus when he appeared to them. You can't really blame them because 3 days earlier, they had seen him die on the cross. I want to ask today, what does Jesus do to confront those fears and those doubts? Do we have complete certainty that Jesus is alive, that he is the Lord and that he is risen from the dead to overcome sin and death? Or do we let doubts in our hearts? We're going to look at 3 ways we can be absolutely certain that Jesus is alive. Number one, the eyewitness accounts of those who saw Jesus alive. Number two, the historical evidence that Jesus is alive and is the Christ. And number three, the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to preach the risen Christ. We're also going to look at how doubts and disbelief steal joy, and how when we let doubts form in our hearts, it leads us to fear. But we will see how Jesus overcomes all those fears and doubts and anxieties to replace them with assurance and joy. We're going to read the very end. We've just covered the very end of Luke's gospel, but we're going to look at the very beginning as well, because we want to know what was Luke's motivation for writing his accounts of Jesus' life. I often read the Bible and just sort of plow through it and forget to think about what are the motivations of each writer of each book. And we know that Scripture is true, it's inerrant, and it's from God, but let's have a look at why Luke wrote his accounts. So we see in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and it says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us from those who from the first were the eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught, you have been taught." Luke is writing to Theophilus so that he can have certainty in the things that he has been taught. Let's keep that in mind when we think about this passage today. So let's look at number one, the eyewitness accounts of those who saw Jesus alive. So here we have an incredible account of Jesus appearing to the disciples and those with them. As you can imagine, the shock when he appeared to them in that room. And Jesus' first words are, "Peace to you." And I wonder, was it like he appeared in the room, boom, "Peace to you." Or was it more he knew their reaction? I mean, it's not every day somebody you see die, rises from the dead, and then appears in the room that you're in. So I think it might be more like, boom, "Peace to you, peace to you, peace to you." I think that would probably be more the way he would have done it, I think. But straight after, in verse 37 and verse 38, we see Jesus say, we see them say, "But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit." And then he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Jesus straight away is questioning their doubts. That is it really him that's standing in front of them? I also wonder if he's questioning their doubts about the stories of that other people had about Jesus appearing, like the two on the road to Emmaus. Did those disciples and those with them believe their story when they came to them in that room and told them about it? Or were they doubting those stories as well? Jesus confronts these doubts by showing them his hands and his feet. Jesus has nothing to hide. The cross was not an illusion. It was no magic trick. He showed them his wounds and even encouraged them to touch him to prove that he wasn't a spirit. We must remember that Jesus is speaking to the very people that watched him die. They had no doubt that Jesus had died. He then asked them if they have anything to eat. I don't think this is because he was hungry, because it says they gave him a piece of broiled fish. I mean, if that was me, I'd be pretty disappointed. I'd want chips with that. I'd want mushy peas. Do you know what I mean? But I mean, Again, I don't think it was really because he was hungry, but it was to prove again that he is alive. That he is alive in physical form. He has risen. We now see that Jesus appeared to many more people as well over the next 40 days. And you can read those accounts in the other Gospels. And in Acts 1, verse 3, it says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over the period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Right, number two, historical evidence that Jesus is alive and is the Christ. Jesus fulfilled everything written in the Old Testament, and everything he prophesied about himself came true. Let's read verse 44 and 45. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." There are specific prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus' death and resurrection, which were written 1,000 years before Jesus was here on earth. There are many in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, but we don't have time to actually look at them today. But I would recommend that you look them up in your own time, because they are astonishing. The whole Old Testament is about Jesus and leading to Jesus. Right from the very beginning, that was the plan. In Genesis 12, 2 and 3, we see the covenant that God makes with Abraham. It says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is a covenant of grace. God does not ask of anything in return, but just promises to bless Abraham. And through him, he will bless all the families of the earth. We know that Jesus comes from the lineage of Abraham. But how is Jesus the fulfillment of this promise? Let's go back to the story in Luke to find out. So at this point, the disciples still don't know why Jesus died. We know that after his death, they lost hope, it says in Luke 24. They fled in fear, Matthew 26. And they went into hiding, John 20. But the next part of this account, verse 46 and 47, explains it all. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Jesus lived a perfect life and suffered and died on that cross, so that when we repent of our sins, we will be forgiven. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that he has done. He saved us, and he suffered to save us from eternal suffering. He saved us from the bondage of sin, which meant we were already dead. He made a way for us to be alive with him forever. This is the moment that the disciples understand why Jesus died. That he is the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham. That he would be a blessing to the world and also be the savior of the world. Without the resurrection, the disciples would never know why Jesus died. Therefore, we would never know. Jesus' resurrection proves that he's conquered sin and death. For we know that in our sin we are dead, but in Jesus we are alive. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Do you know Jesus today? Do you know that new life that is only found in him? I know that sometimes I try to do it, like we saw earlier. I try to build the foundations on my own. I try to find life in my own strength or in my own ability. But we will only find life in Jesus and his resurrection. His death and his resurrection, what has made it possible to be with him and to know him and to be with the Father for eternity. Jesus is alive and he is life. Let's look at number three. The Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to preach the risen Christ. The last five verses talk about the promise of the Father and to wait in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. Matthew then describes Jesus' ascension into heaven. So we already know that Jesus left his followers once when he died on the cross. And now he has left them again and ascended into heaven. But let's look at the contrast between the disciples' reaction to the two times that Jesus left them. After his death on the cross, they had lost hope. They fled in fear. They went into hiding. But after being with the risen Jesus, their reaction is completely different. And when he ascends into heaven, he leaves them a second time. Their reaction is so different. We can see in verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. I wonder what the reaction was of the Jews who crucified Jesus when they saw the disciples with great joy and their continued time of worship and praising God in the temple. It must have made them question, has Jesus really risen? We know that Jesus doesn't leave them for long because they receive the promise and power from on high. We see in the book of Acts in Pentecost that they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives them the power and authority to share the gospel. They've witnessed something so amazing and life-changing, they spend the rest of their lives telling everyone they can. But they faced huge opposition. They were threatened, flogged, beaten, imprisoned, and forbidden to speak of the name of Jesus. Did they stop because of this persecution? No, they didn't. They were encouraged by it, if anything. They were so certain of what they had witnessed that they said to the Jewish leaders, "We must obey God rather than men." And then they went on rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Their courage had a very large cost, but one the early Christians were willing to pay. Independent historical sources record for us that many of the early followers, including the apostles, suffered intense persecution and even death for their ongoing beliefs and for the fact they wouldn't stop preaching that Jesus is Lord and has risen from the dead. Some of them suffered excruciating deaths. They would not have gone through all this for a lie. But it was the Holy Spirit in them and the knowledge that Jesus had risen and conquered death that gave them the strength. They were certain that to live is for Christ and to die is gain. So how do we overcome doubts and disbeliefs? The disciples who walked with Jesus had doubts. So there's no surprise that we'll have doubts too. Jesus spoke to people on a heart level. He often challenged the motivations and the fears of the heart. And here he does it again. In verse 38, he asks them, "And why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Jesus is aware that these doubts are at a heart level. And if we let them grow in our hearts, they could consume us. If we let doubt stay and grow in our hearts, it leads to our joy in Christ being replaced with fear and anxiety. Doubts steal our joy. So let's look at three ways from this passage that we can overcome those doubts. The disciples' situation caused them to fear and doubt. After Jesus had died, it was that situation that caused them to forget what they already knew and what they'd already been taught. But Jesus comes to them in the midst of that fear and doubt. We will overcome doubts by spending time in prayer. Prayer is where we meet with Jesus. And as we spend time with him, our doubts soon disappear. It's hard not to believe that someone is alive when they speak to you. And we need to be praying for others as well. We need to pray for that other people would know that Jesus is alive. I've recently started to keep a prayer diary to remind myself of what Jesus has done and what he's doing. And it's great just to look back and just be amazed by what God has done and what he's doing in people's lives and in my own life. I think we can so easily forget, can't we, when we don't keep a record of those things. Number two, the disciples had forgotten what Jesus had said to them, that he would rise on the third day. But Jesus opens their minds through teaching them the scriptures that he is the Christ. Jesus fulfilled everything he came to do and proved it through the scriptures. We will overcome doubts by spending time in the Word. Are we letting the Word arise in our hearts instead of doubts? We need to read it, learn it, listen to it, study it, and meditate on it. And are we encouraging others to read it and teaching them? And then the third point. Jesus left the disciples in human form, but filled them with the Holy Spirit and clothed them with the power from on high. We will overcome doubts by fanning into flame the Holy Spirit. Do we live life led by the Spirit? Do we allow him to lead us outside of our comfort zone so that all we have is him to rely on? Or have we become comfortable and lost the expectation that Jesus will use us to share the gospel? I think we also need to spend time in fellowship and be honest and open with each other. We need to not hide when we struggle with doubt. Pray with each other and encourage one another. Finally, the Holy Spirit gives us certainty that Jesus is alive. When we have that certainty, it leads to joy. A joy that leads us to worship. A joy that makes us want to bless the Lord because of what he has done. And that joy compels us to share Jesus with those around us. I hope you're certain of those things. I hope you have that certainty. But if you don't, find somebody today to talk with and pray with. Because if you have those fears and those doubts, it's so important to share them and pray with one another, support one another. I am absolutely certain that Jesus rose. I am absolutely certain that he died on that cross to take away my sin, to forgive me because of what he'd done, nothing that I did. And I'm absolutely certain that I have life in him. Without him, I wouldn't know life, but in him, there is just the most incredible life that can be lived. And I know that because of what he did, I will see him one day face to face, and I will spend eternity worshipping him in heaven. We can be certain of these things. Thank you for listening.